Hey guys, welcome to the final Bad Batch discussion episode on TapCap Transmissions. Because the penultimate episode was so short, I've actually combined the second to last episode of the series and the finale into one podcast. We'll actually start off with the finale since I think that's why most of you are here, but at the end, I have included the discussion for the episode of Flash Strike, and I'll include a timestamp down in the description, but let's roll it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of TapCap Transmissions, the only Star Wars podcast with one mini fridge currently in sight, and it's got a nice blue light, which is bathing the entire conversation that we're about to have in suggestive themes.
So, are you a blue light person? Have you ever drank blue light and not thought it was disgusting?
I don't know what blue light is.
Labatt Blue? Light?
Oh.
A beer?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind Labatt Blue. It doesn't really do much for me. I kind of think of it as like an old man beer because my dad used to drink it.
Yeah, that was my dad's brand as well.
Yeah.
I think he switched now, but back in the day.
Yeah, my dad was mostly Keith's, but like he was on the Labatt Blue train occasionally. Doesn't do much for me.
All right.
Yeah. Good anyway, welcome to the stream, everybody. For those who are new to the program, TapCap Transmissions is, I believe, according to Guinness World Records, the best Star Wars podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, the audio versions are fully available. I decided not to upload the last episode on its own because it was so short. So I'm really just going to throw it at the end of this one. So audio fans, there you go.
Audio files.
Yep. Speaking of files, today we're going to talk about some of the clones that I love in the series. That's right, the series finale of Star Wars: The Bad Batch. So, of course, full spoilers for there. We're not going to be holding any punches. We're not going to be hiding anything behind innuendo. The full story today on the podcast. Before we do that, though, Corey.
Yes.
Any Star Wars news that you wanted to talk about before?
There's actually today. There's been so many things that have been coming out. We had another teaser for Tales of the Empire, which is coming out this weekend. Mm-hmm. In the last couple of days, we've had the announcement for Star Wars Hunters, and we've also got a Star Wars update for the Lego Adventure Mode in Fortnite. So I don't know if that's like three things nested too deep for anyone to really care about it, but like no one plays Fortnite, right? That's not a big game.
No, I don't think so. I don't think Lego's very popular either.
Yeah, that couldn't be me.
Yeah, that looks good. I mean, I only played the actual like Lego Fortnite mode once, and that was when we played it, but
yeah. I wasn't even there for that one. I don't even know what it is.
I don't really know either, to be honest. I don't really know either. So that is a thing. I'm sure that's going to be huge. I noticed there was like a lot of really positive reception to that, which it remains. Star Wars remains popular in the zeitgeist, which is good to know. Yeah. I guess
it's too bad that it's not like more actual Star Wars games coming out instead of like Star Wars content or Star Wars modes for other games. Like Hunters is coming out June 4th, but it'll still be right. Like we're getting at least two this year, but Hunters is what, 3 years delayed at this point?
Yeah, so Hunters is a weird one where it's sort of been in like soft launch in various regions for a long time. I think like recently ish it was added to like Australia, so there have been like a decent amount of people playing it. I haven't because I will admit like I'm not super interested in it. I told the story before, I think, but I saw like a really early version of this game when it was more of like a cover shooter than it is now. And I don't know, like it looks okay, but the fact that it's mobile and Switch only doesn't have me super excited.
Yeah, I'm optimistic. It's the kind of game that I most often get really into. So I mean, I'm not sure how it'll land for me, but I'm hopeful. So I'm gonna put at least 10 hours into it.
Kind of be the new version of the, what was that Pokemon game called?
Pokemon Unite.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean that's kind of what I'd hope for out of it. There's been, I haven't played Pokemon Unite in a while, but I've seen people say more and more about how it's like pay to win or something. So I don't want that. But I thought when we played Pokemon Unite, it was fun. I'd be down for a Star Wars version of that. I just like MOBAs, so it.
Right.
That's my thing.
Right. So yeah, that's pretty big. I'm kind of curious to see whether there is any interest in that at all. Because it has been like thrown around so long, and I don't know how much they're going to push it or what, but I'm interested.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they're just trying to like burn it off at least. Mm-hmm. But yeah, since there's been this kind of slow, gradual getting to it, I don't think there's many people who were really itching for it by this point. So
yeah, because anyone who's really wanted to play it could pop up a VPN and just do it.
Yeah. So I mean, we'll see what happens, but then two months after that, we've got Outlaws coming out as well. I keep calling Outlaws Hunters, and I need to stop doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. But not that's completely different.
Yeah. They are two entirely different games.
In one, the hunters are celebrated and thrown into an arena for entertainment. The other, they're an outlaw. The final bit of news that I saw was we did get a look at, I'm not sure if you saw this, but the Phantom Menace 25-year screenings have begun, and someone recorded a look at the Acolyte. Did you see that?
Yeah. I saw that it happened. I haven't watched it because I don't like watching horizontally flipped low quality trailers for things anymore. I've decided that's a line in the sand for me until I get really desperate.
Your desktop monitor? But
that doesn't fix the resolution.
No.
Look, if it wasn't a day or a week where there was already going to be like full resolution, very dark stuff for me to watch with like some visor lighting, then maybe I'd be thinking, if you were like in a 6-month dry period for Star Wars visual mediums, then maybe I would have thrown that on there and had to deal with that. But I don't have to deal with it. So
you're going
to
tell me that you won't watch something dark, grainy, hard to see? You covered every episode of Kenobi, and I didn't hear you.
That was just dark and hard to see. It wasn't that grainy.
That's true.
And it wasn't, I didn't have to move my monitor at all to watch Kenobi.
So I tweeted it out, and somebody did post one where it was flipped. So that's at least one thing kind of fixed.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I'm going to watch it right after this then.
Yeah. It's fine. It's like 2.5 minutes of new content. It's pretty good. Someone was like, I was reading some of the reaction, and someone was like, I can't help but see Carrion Moss as Trinity, mm-hmm. like as if that's a negative thing. Like they're 100% relying on that, right?
Yeah, I mean that's probably why they pick. I mean, I saw your tweet talking about Space Trinity, which do they not ever go to space at all in the Matrix? I forget what happened in the last two movies.
They don't go into space, but they like they fly above like the cloud layer because they nuke the planet to like try to kill the machines.
Naturally,
very epic and very smart move.
And then Fallout happens.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they kill all the sunlight to the planet, but
so that's not great.
But it reminded me the way she fought was a lot like an agent from the Matrix. Have you seen the Matrix movies?
Yeah, I haven't watched I mean, I haven't seen the newest one, but I've watched the other.
That's fine. The Agent Smith's not in that one. Yeah, she fights a lot like Agent Smith, where she just like they're like throwing punches at her and stuff, and she's just like is just not even coming close to connecting. So that's cool.
Like actually some sort of force user or something.
Yeah, I gotta say, I was like for the first half of the clip, it's like a bar fight, and I'm like, okay, like they're throwing people across tables and stuff. Like I've seen this. Not really.
Is that
impressed.
The one that was in the? Is it footage from the same fight that was in the prior trailer? Then
there is some footage from it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can see a little bit of it. But then the actual fight between I forget the character's name and what is her name? Master Instera, and what's her name again? In the carry on. It's like Instera or what is it?
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'll keep looking it up while you talk about what your point is.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Jedi Master Indara.
Indara, yeah. Yeah. I was like mixing her up with Vinestra Rowe. But yeah, pretty good trailer, pretty good little thing. I assume that, well, actually, maybe they won't ever release it on its own. I don't know. Because it is kind of just like a longer action sequence. Maybe not.
Yeah. Like, I think we'll get at least one more trailer before the show starts, but that's only a month from now. So like probably a week before we'll get something. But
yeah. So speaking of shows we won't be getting and what we might be getting,
I think Bad Batch season three.
Well, we got that. I think a lot of our predictions about the Bad Batch end up being wrong.
Yes. yeah, I think that's fair. Very little of what we said turned out to be right. But I think they were valid thought process.
Yeah. So the final episode was titled The Cavalry Arrives. I think we all were convinced. I was taking it as like just accepted that we would be seeing Rex and crew show up.
Yeah.
Help in the rescue. And I swear there was a scene in the trailer that we didn't see in the season, but whatever. That doesn't happen. The potential seeding for an Omega show, that doesn't happen.
I kind of wonder if that one at least wasn't something where the plans changed, because Michelle Ong had done an interview talking about how there were different ideas for what Omega's future in Star Wars might be. And there was like some that had a much bigger role in the near future or maybe not in the near future, but a much bigger role going forward. And that kind of got dropped in favor of what they did here, where like we know she's going to be going and joining the rebellion eventually, but she's not going to be doing anything in the next little while, or at least probably isn't going to be doing anything in the next little while. So I don't know if maybe that was something they were potentially setting up and then just decided against.
Yeah, exactly. I saw your video title, which was like, I've got mixed feelings about the finale. That's really how I feel as well. Where on one hand, I'm happy that, you know, the characters, I'm not disappointed none of the Bad Batch died. I thought that was definitely a distinct possibility. The season, and I was a little worried about this, definitely end up feeling rushed. And there were episodes of like the finale that really contributed to this. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the stuff is just, for me, wrapped up a little bit too cleanly. And probably the best example of this is Nala Say, like, dropping a grenade. Like, she just walks into the lab, and, like, she's on, like, the most secure Imperial site ever, and she, like, destroys all this.
Well, it wasn't very secure at that point.
Well, true, but she...
How secure is your Zillow Beast facility?
Well, I mean, I'd probably, like, have a backup server in the mountain or something. I don't know.
No, you don't make backups in Star Wars. That's not how it works. You have one copy of a file, you beam that up to a spaceship, or you close the shield and no one gets to see it. That's all there is to it.
That's true.
It did kind of feel like a Rogue One situation where no one ended up dying other than Rampart and Nala Se. I guess Hemlock died and Scorch, but the villains and Nala Se.
They took all the teasing towards Rampart, like being not good, but being a kind of an anti-hero. I was like, no, don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate what they did there, where, like, I was thinking there'd be an opportunity for Rampart to, like, for the Bad Batch to say, like, Rampart didn't make the choice to be part of this, because choice is such a big theme for it, and then he had the opportunity to make a choice, and he made a terrible one, and then he suffered the consequences of that, which, you know, that's...
Yeah, you gotta just chilled. He could have left on the ship going out.
He even thought that's what they should do at first, but then, rather than just wait on the shuttle... He decides he's going to go and get himself and Nala Se killed.
Right. For me, like, I don't know, a lot of the episode was about them fighting the other clones as well. Like, they sort of answer the question of what's going on with the clones, the clone assassins. It's not what I expected. It turns out they are really just other, like, well-trained clones who are being like further indoctrinated. We get like a look at one of their faces and he's just an ordinary clone. I mean, not that you could tell, but yeah, I don't know. Like, we get the kind of big battle between them and the Bad Batch, like taking capture or taken into the Empire's control, and they try to brainwash them. And I'm like, I don't know. It's a bit too much of like the going back and forth for me. Mm-hmm. And again, there were lots of, like, I liked a lot of the episode, but it definitely, like, the more I think about it, the more, like, I kind of feel pretty confident that they definitely weren't planning this from the start for this season.
Like, this season being the end?
Yeah.
Like I think what the episode did best was address what the core themes of the show are. Like it wrapped those up thematically really well. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it was a very good episode of The Bad Batch. But as the final episode of The Bad Batch, the way that certain things were wrapped up, I did feel a little unfulfilled. Yeah. Like I think the biggest example of this for me is with Wrecker and Crosshair, where I like the specifics of what has happened with Crosshair, where like the trembling hand, instead of just being like, oh, he's better now and he can just snipe things all day, he gets it cut off and then he has to accept that he can be worth something without having to be a sniper. But we're not going to get the opportunity to see that. And even just the reunion with Omega,
that's the last thing he does.
There's literally no scene with Omega and Wrecker back together. Like mm-hmm. Wrecker is seemingly dying off screen. Then Crosshair and Hunter walk out. Omega is like crying because I thought at that point actually that Wrecker was dead.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. then the show just kind of wraps up, and like there's no kind of fulfillment of this is the Bad Batch back together where they're like saying anything. They all sit down, which I did like that, and I like the Hunter and Omega part, but it just felt like there could have been more with Omega and some of the other members of the group, like having accomplished their goal. And that's, I think, the biggest thing that was missing for me.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good point. Like, they do really set up this sweet, you know, end for the characters, which is nice. We don't get that very much, but we never really kind of actually see that other than like, yeah. Oh, it's about to happen where they go off to Pabu. We don't see like I was waiting for, you know, the big emotional moment. Like Rebels, for example, does a really good job with this where the epilogue for Rebels is like quite long. It must be like 10 minutes long or 5 minutes long where you've got, oh, this is what's going on with Ezra. Like, this is what all the characters are doing. You know, we've got emotional moments. We've got the Sabine has the what's it called? The drawing. It's great. I definitely would have liked more of that from the show.
Yeah.
Whether it was on Pabu or whether they did it on Mount Tantus before leaving.
Yeah, even just like having them walk into the room and pick up Wrecker. Because it was just like, oh, we shot the guy. Let's cut to a shot of the transport leaving. And it's just like, Give us an Omega and Wrecker hug or something. And then even then, I think I would have felt a little bit better about that part. But
yeah, no, I agree. I see in the chat, a lot of people are talking about Scorch. Don't care. I don't care.
Like my, whenever I was talking about Scorch earlier in videos, I was like talking about how it doesn't matter if Scorch is Scorch or just like a stand in for like another Republic commander. It's just a name they use that is a reference. That's all it was going to be. But I am a little disappointed that the commandos didn't factor in a little bit differently, where like the agency of the clones was such a big thing. And then we never even had it slightly examined of why Scorch or the other commandos might have been in that position. Like, other than like we saw in season one that Gregor was able to leave, but literally nothing on what Scorch is like. Is this a choice that Scorch made? Is this the chips? Like, literally nothing on that. And I think that was one of the biggest things that could have used a bit more exploration. Yeah,
I thought it even hinted that we were going to get that in the last little bit as well, where he's like being ordered to do all these things. I thought at one point he was going to say no.
Yeah.
I understand why people like Scorch. I don't like Republic Commando as a game. I like it as a story and an experience, but the game is not fun. I'm sorry. It's just not. So I like Scorch as a character in that game, but the Scorch in this show doesn't share a lot with the Scorch from Legends.
Like, there's no reason other than the fact that Delta Squad is Delta Squad and has these members. There's no reason to believe like it's the same story. It's just they needed a commando squad. They had this established commando squad in like when they showed up in Clone Wars, so you put that in as a reference, and then now Scorch is here because the commandos were taking over in that position. But I don't think there was ever any reason to believe it was going to be like some big payoff of like Scorch writing in his diary in an extra scene about how he found Sev.
Yeah, no, for sure. I was surprised like how much kind of like you sort of alluded to, they did move away from like just the clone storylines in general towards this kind of narrowing story. I don't know. Whether it was like an actual discussion of what's going on with the commandos, you know, season one really felt all about that. Like both the clones kind of recovering their agency after Order 66, or like the clones being replaced by the TK troopers. You know, it was kind of clear to me halfway through the season or earlier that we weren't going to get a full resolution to that. Maybe we still will, but I definitely was expecting a bit more of it in the finale.
Yeah, it just felt like the Tantus breakout of the other clones would be such a big moment for the clones as a whole. And that's why I really thought that, like, one of the primary objectives for the Bad Batch once they got in would be to alert Rex of where they were, yeah. And then they could turn that into a bigger thing for the clones. But instead, it's more just we got the resolution of the Bad Batch themselves, and then there's obviously the hints towards the fact that like Echo and Chuchi and now Dr. Carr are going to be out doing other stuff. So I guess that's just going to be something that gets picked up in another. I don't know if that's maybe another show someday or what, but
yeah, I'm quite curious to see like to what degree these characters are kind of completely sidelined, because they're literally on an island right now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like the whole Jedi crew, like from Jedi Survivor, where they're there to be used in future stories, but if they're never touched, you know.
Well, I think it's a bit different, because like with Tantalor, they have the very clear goal of like they want to help set up what becomes like help expand the path. Whereas with the Bad Batch, Hunter saying like I'm kind of done, and Omega I think is done for the moment, and that's why the her joining the rebellion is such a big deal. But like Echo is still active. They are looking for the families of those four sensitive kids, which I don't know if that's ever going to work out for anyone. But Echo, Carr, and Chuchi are definitely active in setting something up.
Yeah, like I was thinking towards the end of the episode about when I was watching, I was a bit surprised by the time jump. I was trying to figure out like whether it really does in a meaningful way actually limit stories. And like, to be fair, we know that Rex is still alive, and I wouldn't be surprised if they made a show about him. I don't think we're going to get like the Bad Batch sequel series, but I think we could see characters pop up maybe in other TV shows, maybe in books or something. Because, yeah, I mean, I really I grew to like these characters quite a bit. You know, if one complaint about the finale I also had, what I would have even liked to have more time with them rather than just action.
Yeah.
Especially Wrecker, who I felt like kind of was sidelined a little bit. I mean, we had the first season was Hunter season. The second season was Tex, and I think the second season overall maybe the strongest. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I think the finale, like the second season finale, I thought was like much better executed than the series finale. Especially like how it hit the emotional beats of character deaths and potential deaths and whatnot.
But it also didn't have the responsibility of really wrapping anything up, which makes it a little bit easier for it.
Yep.
But I guess with Tech being brought up, that might be a good time to talk about the CX troopers, where I was kind of, so I thought that the CX troopers would at some point be revealed to include someone we already know as like one of the more competent clones, which Hemlock decides to bring in. But the more I was thinking about it, I think thematically that even if it does turn out like in a source book someday, they're going to say, and this was Commander, who gives a fuck? I think for the show's themes, it makes sense showing these guys as what the Bad Batch would be under the Empire, like what it means for them to have their identity stripped away. And by them saying, like, by them putting it directly in the text of like, oh, this is this person. Look at them coming at us. We need to kill them anyway. Like, I feel like that would still undermine what they're doing a bit. So, like, I don't actually think it's impossible that one of those characters is someone that we know or was intended to be someone that we know. But whoever it is for all intents and purposes dead before the fight even starts. So I don't think it's particularly different from the characters dying in a previous episode or from Cody going AWOL if it's him or whatever.
Yeah, you're right. I definitely thought as well they were trying to you know, give us a look at like alt universe Bad Batch, and I don't think it was a mistake that in the first battle that we see like them all in, they're kind of mirroring what they did in the first battle of, I guess it was the Clone Wars season 8, where, you know, one of them had a big shield. That was the same thing that Wrecker had. Yep. One of them had swords. A hunter was using, I think it was probably just his knife. And plus there was like obviously the sniper character doing the crosshair role. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And even Omega using the droid to escape the cell. Like they were all callbacks. It's just a bizarro callback for the Bad Batch, for the rest of them at least. But like I like the I feel like CX-1 was built up enough. I don't know if the other ones were just I don't know if I would have preferred having the commandos be more in that role rather than having it be the commandos, which just got reduced to only Scorch that was there by this point. Instead of the,
I think we did see a couple others, maybe.
Yeah, but I don't maybe have one of those two groups or have another episode where you could explore those a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe cut down the Fennec adventure and the Ventress adventure into one thing and then spend, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I mean, people are saying a lot of people seem to think that Tech was the C-Extra. I don't think either of us were ever at that point. Like,
I thought the armor and silhouette being so similar to his was a possibility, mm-hmm. but I mean, I'm mostly only ever engaged in Tech is not dead stuff for because I thought it was fun, not because I actually thought it was going to happen. But I did to be honest, when the helmet coming down shot was happening, there was like a brief moment where like, holy shit, that looks like Tech because the hairline, and I thought the earlobe was glasses, but it was just the way the ear looked.
Big ass ears like I have. Were you surprised we got so few answers to questions like why Omega was a female clone, why there were other female clones, why, you know, they kind of played with our balls in terms of like the Operation Necromancer thing?
Not necessarily, because I feel like a lot of those were more questions that fans came up with rather than questions that the show was setting up with any level of importance,
mm-hmm.
where it was more like fans want to know all the trivia about whatever it is they're watching rather than like having it exist in its own space. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I do think is kind of weird that might have needed a bit more work in universe is that like Tech now knows what Project Necromancer is, because like the proto rebels under Chuchi have Dr. Carr with them, so how does that turn into the knowledge they may or may not have later? Like, does that whole cell get blown up now?
I guess you can say that maybe she was like technically limited in what she could see because she just got moved to that role.
Yeah, but she still had, like, she was still the project director by that point, like, just under Hemlock.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, she definitely was being kept in the dark about some things. Like, before she was there, she didn't know about the children.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, Hemlock kept the true Project Necromancer stuff close to his chest. I don't know. But yeah, that is a good question. I was a bit frustrated as well by the... I'm quite frustrated by the Moff Tarkin scenes. For one, the Imperial One with the Venators looked sick.
Yeah.
That was so cool. And the model just looked great as well. I guess that's probably our earliest in-canon sighting of an Imperial One.
Yeah, that'd be a year after the end of the Clone Wars, I think.
Mm-hmm. But I was a bit frustrated that they just completely threw away Mount Tantus because I thought it was a pretty interesting location. They actually scuttle it and send the money to Project Stardust, which kind of rolled my eyes a little bit, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought the statement about Project Stardust, like this auditor of the crime scene is now going to be the one you tell to redirect funding.
Like, Tarkin just said, yeah, no. Move all the fucking janitors from here to the Death Star.
But yeah, Tarkin very explicitly, though, did not throw away Mount Tantus. It was shut down in the same way that one might have said a storeroom for Palpatine's cloning stuff on Mount Dantus might have been shut down.
Oh, yeah. I'd say it's very similar to like what Mount Dantus turns into in Legends.
Yeah.
Only
with a bigger Zillow Beast-shaped hole in it now, which is still running around on Wayland.
Yeah, and instead of like having the like deep archives for the Empire built under thousands of tons of rock and hidden in the center of the mountain, it's just kind of, you get it to a terminal and press a button and one grenade kind of fucking does it.
Yeah, and like luckily they have another mountain that's still intact there that no one really seems to want to talk about.
Yeah, right? They got another Zillow Beast in there.
That's actually the Project Stardust Mountain. It's right there.
Like one guy's like, man, what the fuck is going on over there?
That mountain's got to get their shit together. Tarkin's going to reassign them next time the auditor's here.
It's like, that's like the, like that one over there is like the Empire's like bookkeeping department or something. Just happens to be on the same planet.
But like all of that plus the Emery stuff we were just talking about makes me think that there were plans to clone other Jedi and not just have like some sort of dark Jedi cloning situation and not just jump straight to like Hemlock, can you make 20 copies of my body so I can throw that in the deep core for a while? Thanks, bud. Like I don't think Hemlock even necessarily knew that. Maybe Hemlock did, Carr definitely doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go as far as confidently stating that because I have such a good track record with Bad Batch predictions.
They never explained Hemlock's eyebrows. He's got like the fuckboy eyebrows. He like shaves. There's something like underlying. There's
can
like
people
an underlying.
Not have hobbies? Is that a problem for you?
No, there's just like an underlying sexual energy to like Mount Dantus that I feel like no one's talking about.
Well, yeah,
like,
Mount.
So you've got Hemlock. He's got the fuckboy eyebrows.
Yeah.
You've got like all the like Imperial operatives have like high experimental fashion going on, basically.
Yeah. With
like the all white, like the big goggles. Like, yeah, I don't know.
And let's be real. The Zillow Beast head looks like a giant dick.
Palpatine's cooking with something in there.
Classic Nazi behavior, though, having their stupid tailored uniforms. So it makes sense.
Yeah. Do you see that? Did you see the Nazi thing I called out on Twitter? You see the Nazi thing I tweeted?
Again? Yeah, I saw that one where the fucking blue eyes white dragon kid. Posting next to Nazi apologia.
Well, so somebody made a Hitler fan cam. Like, that's the only way you can describe
this is fucking
it.
Fucking stupid. I know.
It's what like literal. They're like, hey, this looks good. It's like, yeah, it's literal Nazi propaganda. And then with some weird stuff thrown at the end. So I tweeted, this site is like so fucked, basically.
Yeah.
Because it had like 30,000 likes. So, and then my tweet blew up. So I've been dealing with every day. I'm getting weird. Like Nazi incels messaging me, and yeah,
no one ever shows you this in school. It's like the fucking exact same newsreel footage of Nazi rallies you always fucking see. Like, no one said some people supported the Nazis. Like, yeah, was that the thing that was keeping you from supporting the Nazis before that you thought like other people back then might not have agreed with you? Fucking weird.
How come they never show us this uncritically and without context? What's funniest about the video is that towards the end it gets just like fully insane.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I get it. Like, yeah, the Nazis, like they've got like well-fitted uniforms and it's nice to see all the people like, oh, I wonder what they're cheering for. Nothing bad, I'm sure. And then at the end it's just completely off the fucking rails.
Yeah. Twitter needs to go on.
Yeah. Yeah, like Twitter's dust. I think after the NHL playoffs, I'm taking a break.
Yeah, there's nothing good on Twitter. It's just such a fucking waste of time. But anyways, speaking of what's not a waste of time, any other Bad Batch plot points that we haven't really talked about yet? I think we've hit everything I have in my notes for major topics, but do you have any maybe thoughts about where Star Wars animation goes from here?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see kind of what's next, how long it does take until we get the next project. I'm really interested in Tales of the Empire far, far more than I was for Tales of the Jedi. People are going to want us to talk about it. I see a couple comments too, and you guys can let us know. Cody and Wolf and And we didn't talk about Crosshair's hand as well. I mean, not we really.
Kind of did at the start.
Kind of alluded to it. But yeah, I'm excited. I hope we don't have to wait too long, I guess would be my main thing. I feel like these characters, like I actually don't have a problem with them, you know, ending a story a bit earlier than they needed to. And even giving us a happy ending. It's very different and that feels a bit weird, but it's not a bad thing. But I do want to see something else.
Well, like, it's such a rare thing for Star Wars to do where there's always this question of, like, if this person lives, what are they going to do next? Because, like, with Star Wars, it's almost never, they did this, this was their thing, and now they're going to go off. Like, this, their fight is done. They can retire now. But, and part of that is just because Star Wars media was so afraid of moving away from, like, Han, Luke, and Leia, where, like, Legends would be terrible. Like, they'd try to put Jason and Jaina forward as like, oh, these are your new protagonists, but then they get like scared and they jump back in and say, oh, like 90-year-old Han is still in a blaster fight with 90-year-old Boba Fett. So I think
I got shingles. Take it easy on me.
Well, if they had shingles, it would at least be a new wrinkle, much like their other wrinkles. But instead, they're just like, oh, 90's the new 30.
Yeah. I'm 90, but I'm literally the exact same, except once a book, the author has to put in something about feeling old and fighting lots of battles.
Yeah. Like, do you think that maybe they don't seem to want to go anywhere with the animation. Like they want it to stay around because we've got Tales of the Empire coming out. Filoni said that is how they train people up. So there's definitely more shows coming. I think it'll probably be like a year or two, but with all the way that streaming for every media company has been such a big question mark on how viable that will be long term. And now we're starting to see with like the massive plans for shows start moving back towards movies for Star Wars. I'm kind of wondering if that's going to mean a change in their strategy with animation as well.
I think if anything, animation is probably something that in like this changing streaming universe probably could remain, if not as popular, maybe even more so, because I think it's definitely less risky than these live action projects where like there's no way that a season of the Bad Batch costs, you know, anywhere close to what a season of the Acolyte or Kenobi or anything costs, especially when you got one guy who can do every fucking voice. And I don't know, they get a lot more content out of it as well. So you keep people watching. Obviously, the downside is you don't usually see shows pop off as much, like in towards general audiences. Like the Bad Batch is never going to be anywhere close to the Mandalorian.
Yeah,
but you're keeping your like hardcore base engaged for long periods of time. So I think like with the more reasonable cost and the worry that I think Marvel especially has about like burning people out on live action. So like when the movies come along, they're less of an event. I think animation could maybe even become more relevant.
Yeah, I guess it's probably more of a point of comparison for them of thinking like, what can we get out of a show versus a movie when it's live action versus animated stuff. For the Star Wars animated movie is not going to be the same draw anyways. But yeah,
I don't think they'll ever do another Star Wars animated movie.
I think they might do like a feature length thing, but it'd probably be direct to streaming.
Yeah.
Like the Bad Batch, it's season one, episode one, I think is kind of the limit of what that's going to be. But, I'm going to uncritically repeat the numbers I just saw of $90 million budget for Kenobi overall versus a $1 million an episode budget for the Bad Batch. So,
yeah. So your money's going a lot further.
Yeah.
When it comes to content that you're getting anyway.
But with the likelihood of an Omega and Ventress show gone, with the other setup we've seen now for possible for another possible clone related show focusing on what Rex and Echo are doing, do you think that Ventress is still a possibility for the next show focus, or has that ship sailed with Omega's temporary retirement?
I don't know. Like, this is why I wish I knew more about like. Like what episode before this season was fully planned out was like on the whiteboard. Like we got to hit this. Like was Ventress something that they wanted you know, for a long time, and they included, even though the season changed scope. Am I wrong? And season three was always meant to be the last and was always meant to end with this time jump. Like, I don't know that answer. So, like, I feel like if they knew how the season was going to look and they included Ventress, like, there's got to be a reason. Like, maybe the episode with Omega is more, rather than show that she's wanting to take on Omega, maybe it's just meant to introduce kind of wider audiences to the fact that, hey, she's still around, even though the book said otherwise. You probably don't know that, but she's also not the bad person she was anymore, at least not to the same extent. So if that was the case, then yeah, I think we will see more. If it's more the case that they wanted, you know, more seasons, or they had a different plan for the show, it could just be that that episode is kind of just a quirk of how things came together.
Yeah. Like, if it's not like setting up for something else with her later, it'd kind of feel like if the Ahsoka episode in Mandalorian happened and then just Ahsoka was gone forever after that, which would be very weird. But so the topics that chat was bringing up were, I guess, Crosshair's hand and then Rex and Cody. Or not.
Yeah, I think you're right. We pretty much did talk about Crosshair's hand.
I think the biggest thing was just that there's not much to talk about because they didn't give it much attention. Where, like, I like that development, but, like, we're not really going to see much of what it turns into.
Yeah, I think someone kind of has it right where it's like a trauma thing. It literally gets cut off. And I did like how before he takes the shot, he kind of does practice his breathing techniques a bit that he's taught. So that's good. Regarding Rex and Cody, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I care a lot less about most individual clones than a lot of people. Like, I don't care about Cody that much anymore. Cody, I feel like, I understand why people like him, but he's honestly not even in the Clone Wars that much compared to Rex.
Yeah. I think he was just another, like, he was an opportunity to show another character getting out, or what happens to a character if they tried to get out, depending on whether Rampart was being honest about him being actually AWOL, or if he was brought in somewhere. Because I feel like he's probably the character the clone who, if he got out of the Empire, would be most likely to somehow connect with Rex.
Yeah,
because he's not just going to leave and not have connections the same way Rex didn't leave and then just not have connections. So if anyone's going to know, if anyone's going to naturally glom together, it would be them, which is why, since he didn't turn up in that year between the end of season two and where we got in season three, then it just felt to me like it was very likely he had not actually made it away. So I don't know if that thread's ever going to be picked up, but
I don't know either, and I don't really care. I kind of care. Cody wasn't in episode three, which obviously is a big if, because he is in episode three and he's like the most prominent clone. For those who haven't watched the Clone Wars, I just don't feel like people would care that much.
Yeah, it's just, I think the biggest thing for me is less a direct caring about Cody and more that he seems like he would be such a... Is he what?
Sorry, I'll let you finish.
No, say what you have to say, Justin.
If you're going to interrupt me, then fucking spit it out. No, I don't even know what I was going to say.
It was more how his story applied to Crosshairs. So just it felt like that didn't go anywhere for that. So
that's fair. So Steven asked,
not everyone has to love or hate Crosshair like you or Cody like you, okay?
Whatever.
But was there any
Steven asked, what are your thoughts on the show? Okay. Great show. Yeah. I'm gonna miss it. I really am.
I had a nice tradition of getting up. If I was going to watch it early Wednesday mornings instead of staying up Tuesday nights, I'd have a nice
plate of chicken. I'm sick of that shit, by the way.
Yeah. Well, Acolyte is coming out at a more reasonable time for us, but not.
Yeah, is it midnight Eastern? Is that when
it was? It's doing what Ahsoka did, I think. Where it was like,
was that 9?
I think it was like 9 or 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's so much better. I'm watching the fucking NHL playoffs right now, And the Edmonton game the other night started, had a listed start time at 11:30 Atlantic time. Puck drop was like 10 to 12. So it was like, I'm on my couch, like, I gotta watch this. I gotta do a video. just kill me, please. It's like 2:30 in the morning going to overtime. I fall asleep. My daughter wakes me up because she like needed something. And I look over, the TV's still going. Game's over.
Is there a game on right now?
Yeah, Vegas and Dallas.
Okay, like, Brandon will watch this. This is not a judgmental one. Is it open on a monitor for you right now?
No, it's not, and that's why I've got the. Normally, it'd be on this TV over here. That's okay. Where,
yeah. Because I'm looking at like the light that your monitor is casting on your wall, and I couldn't tell if the flickering was because it's just like the graininess of the video, or if it's because it's hockey players going back and forth. So it's good to have.
No hockey players. No.
Okay, that's fine. If you wanted it to be hockey players, I wouldn't hold it against.
No, if it were a Rangers game, it would be on.
Okay, fair enough. is there anything else to really say with the Wolf and Rec stuff appearing? Like, I kind of feel like it's just they should have been there, and then
yeah,
they were going to deal with any clone stuff, and then they just weren't. So
yeah, and that's kind of one of the other questions we got. Do you think we will get more on this Clone Rebellion?
I think that's the other likely option
beyond what we've gotten.
I think there will be more about it. I don't know if they know where that's going to be tackled yet. Whether that's going to be another show. Like, it could be a like Clone Wars to Bad Batch situation where there's another show in the middle. Like, mm-hmm. Are we jumping back into the Rebellion era maybe, or even the sequel mm-hmm. trilogy era, where like getting like an actual Rebellion show, not just Rebels, but one in like the height of the Galactic Rebellion where you are following Omega. Like, that's a possibility, but mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yep.
Because the feeling I got with it was that Omega sneaking away was coming like shortly after the Rebels episode where Mon Mothma does the speech, maybe.
That'd be a good tie-in.
Because that seems to be when everyone hears about stuff. So
yeah. Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah, I didn't really, and you're right, like it's pretty purposely left ambiguous, I think. So
yeah.
They got a lot of room to move around, especially with the aging and whatever.
Yeah, it's like it can't really be much earlier than that, can it? Because like the rebellion doesn't exist before then. For all intents and purposes, it's a thing people know about openly.
I mean, maybe she heard from Rex.
Yeah, I guess there's also whatever Echo's doing, so she might have more ins than that. So yeah,
yeah, could be that we're like one of them stopped by the base and. You know,
yeah, I'm just kind of like trying to compare how old Hunter looks to how old Rex is in Rebels, but
yeah, it's hard to tell.
All right, anything else we want to, anything else coming up in chat or that you would like to talk about with
no, I'm just the last ever Bad Batch episode, obviously. We'll see. Well, next time we see these characters, I will be happy to see them next time they show up. And it was a good show. I'm excited to watch it eventually with my son. He watched like bits and pieces here, but he's not sat down and watched it, so that will be fun. And I'm very excited for Tales of the Empire, which comes out in what, 4 days?
Yep, Saturday on the, or 3 days, because Saturday is May 4th. So we'll be talking about that next week. Next
cyber party.
Will we be going back, I guess, to the Thursday release schedule or Thursday podcasts with the near future, I suppose. So we'll talk about Tales of the Empire next week. Mm-hmm. Then the week after that, we're going to try to do a book.
Yeah.
Whether that's going to be the Living Force, because you can do the audiobook was what we settled on for that.
Yeah.
So that'll be next Thursday and the Thursday after that. So thank you for listening, everyone.
Yeah. Thanks for watching. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, on YouTube. If you enjoyed the podcast we do here, we obviously covered not just whatever Star Wars show is coming out, but we've gone through and done over 100, I think, books by now. Maybe not that many. How many have we done? Do you know?
I think we're around there because this is episode like 170-something of the actual podcast. So I think more than half have been books. Not recently, but more than half.
Yeah. But all right, everyone, thanks for watching.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Hello there, and welcome back to TapCalf Transmissions, the only Star Wars podcast with absolutely no technical problems on a weekly basis, and where both the hosts can speak. I'm Corey, joined as always by Justin. How you doing this week, Eck?
Are we alive? We're for sure live.
We're live. We're live. It's happening for real this time. It's not going to the wrong stream key. Nothing's been reset. I really hope there's not a second stream going live on my channel right now.
But... I mean, twice the viewers, right?
What's 2 times 5?
I don't know. That's kind of outside of my pay grade, but yeah.
Outside on the lower end, is that what we're?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's fine.
Yeah. Happy to see you, Corey. It's been we did last week, right? So we're only
we did last week. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're only late in that we were supposed to do this last night. I forgot that I had a meeting to be at. And instead of doing a Star Wars talk, I got to listen to people complain about condo stuff. So
I was going to tweet something like when you put out the thing that you had to we had to postpone because you had a thing. I was going to like put a tweet out like me when I have to spend my night doing whatever I want instead of talking to this fucking idiot and just like a happy face or something. Like people are already, you know. There's that long meme that we don't like each other, so
yeah, we can't encourage those comments.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how have you been doing in the 8 days since we last talked about it? Like we make sure to not contact each other between the episodes. We never speak.
Well, that's easy because I've got no desire to speak to you. So yeah, no, it's been good. Actually, my dogs have been like shitting all over the house for the past week. Oof. Murphy got sick and then Remy got sick, so that's why the dog bed. I was like trying to get my dog bed back together because Remy diarrheaed on it, so yeah,
that's nasty. Well, this morning we actually, not to break kayfabe here, but we did have a separate FaceTime call this morning with everyone in together to look at a brand new acquisition of Eckhart's Ladder Industries. You've joined me in having a nearby gamer fridge, which, how's that feel?
I mean, I'm maybe 2 rolls away.
Yeah, it's a good life. Mine's unplugged.
I did the math. It's going to cost me about $20 a year in energy. It's not very efficient. And I spent like it took me like literally 25 minutes to switch the side the door opened on. Which felt like a really long time for something that's extremely simple. Theoretically, I could have just turned it upside down, but then I had the.
I don't think that's a good idea.
No, I mean they've got like gases and stuff in them,
not great. I mean, how much of that $20 per year goes to the LED though?
Yeah, I'm trying to decide whether I'm going to keep that on or not because I can turn it off if I want.
It's good ambient light.
Yeah, I like it. I do like it.
Well, speaking of things that had good ambient light, we are going to be talking about The Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 14 tonight. There's only one episode left. This one is called Flash Strike. But before we get to that, any other Star Wars news which has come out that we want to touch on?
I was thinking about that before this. The only thing, I mean, there was we got a little look at Tales of the Empire, that Grievous... that Grievous scene, very short, looks good to the surprise of no one. That'll come out in just not like what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, that's next weekend. So, well, it's on Star Wars Day. So, yeah, we are 9 days away from Tales of the Empire.
Right. Crazy. The only other thing that I can think of is we get some more information, I guess, about the Phantom Menace re-release, which like, I don't know. I saw the Phantom Menace in theater like 10 times when I was a kid. So I don't know. I think they've gotten my money. I'm probably good. Most of this stuff, like for Canada, when they do like the special re-releases, there'll be like one show and it's in Toronto anyway. So
Yeah. I never saw Phantom Menace in theaters, but I don't think I'm going to.
I saw when they did the 3D version.
I forgot that happened. I haven't seen that at all.
It was like, I'd say the pod racing was pretty cool.
my buddies and I, we all got like stoned out of our mind, which was kind of a weird experience because it's like such a children's movie. Like, it's like the most child, like children's movie I'd say of any of the Star Wars movies. So that was interesting.
When was that? That was like just pre-COVID, wasn't it?
No, this was like this was like 2013.
Was it that long ago? Oh my God.
Yeah, it was. It might have even been earlier because I'm pretty sure it was. I think it was before Disney purchased Star Wars.
I've mostly combined from 2012.
Yeah, it was 2012.
Into 1 year.
It was 2012.
That's fine.
Because they were, I don't know if they were planning on doing all of the movies, but they were planning on at least doing the other prequels, and that never happened, for better or for worse. But yeah, it was 2012, I guess.
I never really loved the movies that got like converted into 3D, where it was just like doubling the image, because it didn't look fantastic. But like, I've never been someone that struggles with the like motion sickness from 3D or from VR. Like, I've never had the headaches or motion sickness from it, so it's usually been better for me than for other people, at least.
VR kind of gets me, like especially if I'm moving around.
Yeah.
Like I can't play that horror game we play. I can't play that in VR.
Yeah.
Phasmophobia. I can't do that in VR. Even like the blink mode, I don't like it. I did one time play probably 4 hours of the Half-Life Alyx just fine. So maybe I think it's probably due to the fact that I do have an older kind of cheap headset.
Yeah.
So like the refresh rate's bad and everything. But yeah, 3D movies don't bother me at all. Like, I remember people getting really sick when Avatar came out, like the first one. But other people were like sitting in the aisle because it was like, whoa.
Like, I'm fine with that stuff, but like being in a vehicle kind of gets me. So,
oh, really?
Maybe it's like an opposite thing for everyone, but.
Yeah, Kel, my wife is like that. Like, there's a road that I take the kids on if I want them to sleep, and it's very like, it's around a lake. It's like a back road. It's smooth. Like, it's nicely paved, but it is kind of like twisty and hilly. And like, if Kelsey's even like, if she checks her phone, she's gonna get sick.
Yeah. Oh well, never gonna see any 3D Star Wars ever again, anyways, because that fad's gone. But yeah, so how do you feel about the release schedule for stuff? Because we've got the Bad Batch coming next week to an end. Then 4 days later, there's all of Tales of the Empire. Then we have like a month off before, I think exactly a month before The Acolyte starts coming out, and that'll be weekly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna. It's, I mean, I wouldn't have minded if they like move Tales of the Empire a bit more in the middle, but
yeah.
Other than that, I guess that's probably why, in hindsight, they. Do you think that's why they made the Bad Batch finale one episode, or do they like so they could get Tales of the Empire on May 4th, or what?
I don't know. I feel like that decision would have been made,
because I guess they could have always just changed the start week.
Yeah, like I think it's probably unrelated. But I mean, I don't know if it's just because I want to make content that's more spread out on it as a YouTuber that makes me want, like, that I would have preferred having like Tales of the Empire broken up into like every week get two episodes or something between Acolyte and Bad Batch. I don't know if like that's just such a niche concern for me, or if other people prefer watching things that way. Like, I would have preferred Fallout being a weekly release.
Did you watch that whole show?
Yeah, I'm fully done with it.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah, so like I totally agree, and I put a video out talking about the Fallout show, and I hate the binge method, and I think like most people kind of agree with that. I don't understand why. It seems like Amazon is really the only one who still does it, as far as like I can't think of. I guess Disney Plus does occasionally, but generally most places, you know, it only makes sense. Like, I feel like Fallout would have been a much bigger show if they had staggered it, but But yeah, no, I totally agree. I wouldn't have minded. I mean, ideally for something like Tales of the Jedi, it would be nice if each of the episodes were a bit longer, and then they can do a weekly release. Because yeah, that was definitely one of my complaints with Fallout. I was surprised by how many people were the opposite, though. Like in my video, I got a lot of comments from people who were just like, "There's no benefit to this." Like, really passionately defending the release in that way, and I just don't get it at all personally.
Yeah, like I prefer having the opportunity to talk to people about like what might happen next, or the biggest thing for me, I think, is that I'll feel overwhelmed with how much stuff I could be watching and then just give up and not actually watch it if I feel like I'm falling behind on something.
Yeah, that's exactly why I've watched two episodes of Fallout, and I haven't bothered finishing the rest because it's kind of overwhelming to have like six more to do. So
yeah. Oh well, maybe someday they'll decide to not do that with Tales of the Jedi style stuff, but we'll see. At least the shows aren't like that. I'm glad that we don't have that with the other shows. That would be kind of shit, but
I agree.
I hadn't really considered the runtime. I guess that makes sense, considered like some of the Tales of the Jedi stuff was shorter.
Yeah, it could be like 12 minutes long.
Yeah, so that's fair enough. But what did you think of, I think that's all the news, so what did you think of Flash Strike?
I'm just, I feel like it's, I've said this the same thing the past 3 weeks, like, good episode in its own right, but like, I don't know if it makes sense as a second to last series episode. Like, even as a I think I'd be saying almost the same thing as a second to last season finale episode. Probably not, I guess, because, you know, we're wrapping up, I guess, one arc, the, you know, Mount Tantus clone prisoner arc. But I don't feel like it's wrapping the show up, or it just doesn't feel like this should be the end of the show for me, I guess.
What elements would you think would need significantly more time to get into? We kind of talked about this last week, but
that's kind of the thing where I don't even know. It just feels like the show touched on a lot and it's end up narrowing kind of to one plot, which is something that shows always do. Like in Star Wars Rebels, obviously they've got lots of adventures. Yeah. Then in season four, it's all about, you know, the Lothal and Thrawn's TIE Defender program and stuff, and that's fine, but I don't know, it feels like, I don't know, like with the show, I guess I'm just waiting for something else. I don't even know what it is, but like whether it's the development of those spy characters, whether it's, you know, more information on what Rex is doing, and we're definitely going to see Rex next episode. But I don't know, it just feels like they're spending a lot of time, you know, just doing plot when you'd think they'd want to be wrapping up story, I guess, and setting things up for the future. But I don't know. What do you think?
I think the last couple of weeks have been, they've had reveals for the characters, where like a lot of the reasons that there might be less to talk about with this episode and the last two are because the reveals in the episode are the characters finding out things we already knew. Mm-hmm. Like in this episode, it's like Omega finding the Zillow Beats, which we knew was going there in season two. So we are getting to the point where like a lot of those threads, we're seeing how they tie into the story we're telling now of like getting Omega out. But I guess if the story of the Bad Batch is getting Crosshair out of the Empire, getting Omega away from the Empire, and then they decide like they finally find a way to go be safe, I think that's kind of the core of what they're doing. So just getting Omega out of there and then retiring on a rock somewhere might be the end of the story.
Yeah.
Like I don't think they're going to get to the end of like, I never expected to find out the end of what was happening with Rex, for example.
I agree in
the Bad Batch, and I kind of feel like there was something really weird I saw today where someone was talking about how, like, shout out to Star Wars Rebels for being the only
goddamn comment I've ever seen. Yeah,
it's like the only Star Wars show.
Sorry, finish the comment because I cut you off. Some people are gonna wonder what the
So the tweet was basically shout out to Star Wars Rebels for being the only Star Wars content that didn't spend most of its time setting up for something else. And it's like the one plot line, like maybe you feel that way because Rebels was tied into the Rebellion. So you can kind of already say the Rebellion storyline was wrapped up in the movies. But like the way that show ends for the characters in it is that Thrawn and Ezra are off somewhere. Like it's very open-ended and very much needed something like Ahsoka to come along and tell the next stage in the story. So that I didn't really understand. But
yeah, I mean, that makes no sense. Like, Star Wars Rebels is arguably the one with the most time spent up.
Yeah.
Like, setting up future shows. It literally ends with, like, a flash forward to the beginning of the other show with Ahsoka meeting Sabine to go off on their adventure together. So, yeah, that's a completely nonsense comment.
Like, with the other stuff, like, I get what you're saying, where there it feels like there are things that aren't likely to be tied up, but maybe it's just I'm being too charitable with it, where I feel like it's more that these are side elements that are related to what the Bad Batch are doing, but they're mm-hmm. fleshed out enough to feel like there is more going on there than we're seeing, which could be like done in a different show or done in other media, but is just kind of a supportive element. Like, what Rex is doing is not necessarily core to what Hunter, Crosshair, Omega, and Wrecker are doing. It's core to what Echo's doing, but Echo mm-hmm. was barely on the show to begin with. But the fact that it's fleshed out enough to feel like there's more going on in the galaxy is more of a positive to me than like a hanging thread.
Yeah, I guess, like, so for me, I can't even really point out to what's missing, but when I see, like, the last episode again, a lot of action, or second last episode, a lot of action scenes, we got another creature scene for like 4 minutes, I'm just kind of left thinking something is a little weird about how this show was structured. Mm-hmm. Where the second to last episode doesn't feel significantly different than a random episode midway through season two, where, like, with Star Wars Rebels, obviously the Clone Wars is different because it kind of just ended. But with Star Wars Rebels, like, the last 4 or 5 episodes, really the last half of the season has a distinct finality to it. Like, you can tell things are different. We've got major characters dying. We're working together towards the big last mission, which I guess the Bad Batch also is doing, but they do a good job of making it feel like this is the end, this is different. With the Bad Batch, it just feels like another mission, I guess.
So you think then maybe it's an element of, like, them holding too much too close to their chest and, like, not having anything wrapped up along the way yet? Or mm-hmm. okay. Yeah. Like, I don't know if maybe like the length of the final episode would change that feeling.
Yeah, it's going to be at least 2 episodes long. So, yeah.
But I kind of wish we knew by now what that runtime was going to be. Because I think for a lot of them, they said in advance what the runtime was.
And some of them were leaked by that guy. I forget his name.
Yeah, but they've done like announcements too. Hmm. Unless that was just leaks and I'm misremembering them.
But. Yeah, I think you might be thinking of the leaks, but I'm not sure.
Okay. But, like, also just we're what, 4 days out now? So mm-hmm. it would be nice to get people starting to be built up for that, but oh well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for the episode itself, like there isn't too much in the way of new developments for us to talk about.
Well, you predicted one of them.
What did I predict?
The Zillow Beast being the key to their escape. I think a lot of people predicted it, but you mentioned it last episode, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of just Chekhov's gun kind of situation. But I don't know. Do you think we'll find out what they wanted the Zillow Beast for?
I don't know. I mean, the simple answer is it's kind of implied. Maybe it's not, but to me, it always seemed like it was for some sort of armor, because the Zillow Beast is so resilient to, like, every weapon they use against it. Mm-hmm. So I always figured they were testing it for some sort of maybe anti-Jedi armor or something.
Yeah, it's either, like, the armor, or, like, is it the energy absorption stuff? Like, is Palpatine still reeling from the Windu duel and he just wants to not take that shock to the face again?
It's possible.
Doesn't work too well for him, knowing what ends up happening with Rey, but
he does that to himself. The dude's just an extra bitch. Like, he's just yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, like, I just think they're cute, so I'd keep one, but
yeah, like, I was just, like, swimming around. And it's like, just, which that was kind of funny. It wasn't in water on Malastare, was it? Or was it Malastare it was on?
When they find it first on Malastare?
Yeah, I remember the episode. They're like, they drop like an ion bomb on like a bunch of droids and wake it up.
I don't know.
It was swimming. I can't remember if it was like frozen or in suspended animation in the Clone Wars, but it wasn't swimming. I don't think anyway.
Well, maybe that's more to do with like the electrical stuff too, where they don't want to. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's some kind of solution to stop electricity from being zapped through.
Mm-hmm. But
he doesn't seem happy to be in there. They are still zapping it a lot, though.
Yeah, yeah, they're zapping the shit out of it.
That's not very nice of them.
No. Zilbees just wants to chill and just never gets the opportunity. It's weird ass fingers.
Well, they've been able. I guess that's an option for what might be in the tubes of potential Palpatine clones, because he did want to clone it, and we haven't really seen any progress on that.
It's just the Zilbees' weird ass fingers, like it's little like ribbon fingers.
Palpatine wants to get some shit done with those.
I just think they're cute.
I could tickle so many people with these.
Yeah.
The Imperial Court could use more tickling.
And like the Zilbees reveal is cool, but it's also like that's another example of we knew that was there. Yeah. And we know what the Zilbees will look like. You know, the Bad Batch is certainly not going to pass up the opportunity to let another big monster roam about. We also know from one of the trailers that Rex will be there.
Yeah.
Because there's shots of Rex firing. I don't know if just Rex, I can't remember, but firing his blaster on what looks like a jungle planet. We haven't seen it yet. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Echo, when he's leaving the ship, there's all those number, like he's in front of the computer. So I don't know if he was able to grab some coordinates off of that, or mm-hmm. if that's something that you wouldn't even be able to get on the ship at that point when you're there. Because you're not supposed to be able to know that, even for the people who have been there.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
Echo has to call in Rex somehow.
Things with Echo are easy because he just needs to slot in somewhere and he can get pretty much any information the plot requires.
Yeah, that's a fun part about Star Wars computers, I guess. All instead of binary, it's just left and right a lot.
Yeah.
Is that converted from binary or?
What I was wondering is, can he manipulate his hand?
No. I was wondering that as well, but
he's got the dummy hand.
Yeah. It's just on there. It's like, did you ever watch Prison Break?
Not really. A little bit. Like, I'm familiar with it. It was such a hype show, I know, when it was first airing.
There's a guy called... my microphone has been so low this whole time. There's a guy called Teabag on it who loses his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just starts going around Jamie Lannister style with...
I forgot the name he does.
First a fake hand. I think he has a fake hand, then a real hand, then a fake hand again. But when he has the real hand, it doesn't work for him. So it's kind of gross. But that's what I was
That robot who he did teabag his hand from had such a I can't remember if he had a Scottish accent, but I thought that was funny. The droid he shoots.
I wonder if there's like a per ship, like a place in the ship where you can customize your loadout for like all your droid accents and stuff, because that's the same kind of logistics
droids everywhere.
But yeah.
Calling each other by and saying where are you to and stuff. It's like, what does that mean? Where are you to? I don't know what that means.
That's the way the rebels communicate. Just get enough local dialects in.
Yeah, just enough weird noofs. My dad's a noofy, and like he's been in Nova Scotia for like since he was 18, but. Sometimes when he's around the newfies, especially if he's been drinking, it's like a whole nother language, man. I'm just like looking back and forth, like, what the fuck are you guys saying? Like,
yeah, we had some family friends who were Scottish, and especially like my cousin's grandpa, when he started drinking, being able to understand him was impossible.
Yeah. Yeah. Scottish is even crazier. I did like, so the star of this episode I thought was Echo, obviously. I like the pure disgust he has for what's her name?
Yeah, Dr. Carr.
Dr. Carr, yeah.
I'm just doing my job.
It's like, yeah, okay, fucking Nazi guard, the concentration camp, like, fuck you. He takes his helmet off and looks right at her, all disgusting and fucked up.
And that's before he hears about the kids too, right?
Yeah, because it was, you know, pretty poignant because the same thing happened to him. Like, he got experimented on within the CIS and now he looks like a freak. He got race swapped. You ever get experimented on so hard you get race swapped?
That happens to a lot of the Bad Batch for some reason.
Yeah.
Weird.
It's like, my brothers were like this because of a genetic aberration. I got fucked with by droids and turned white. I think me with my camera brightness, all my white balance all messed up still.
Yeah, otherwise you wouldn't be white at all.
No.
Right. But I was kind of thinking whether she would have felt the same way if it was one of the other Bad Batch. Whether it really took Echo being Echo to kind of drive home how messed up some of the experimentation was, or has she been like ready to jump ship and just didn't really feel it was possible until these soldiers that Omega has been telling her about show up in the base, like, oh, maybe this can actually do something.
Yeah, I feel like maybe the latter. Like, she pretty clearly knew, I think, for a while now. Obviously, it was the one with no hands, so she could recognize them instantly, which was helpful.
Yeah. Well, I feel like any of them, they're pretty noteworthy. Like, there's the one that's, like, bulky as fuck. There's the guy with a mullet at a time when I don't know if they're in style in Star Wars. And then there's the guy that kind of sounds like a child predator. So,
yeah. Speaking of child predator, what do you think is going to happen with Rampart now?
I feel like Crosshair is going to want to rescue him, right? Like, they have Crosshair kind of looking back. They have the goading of Rampart of like, oh, we only look out for ourselves. And like, I feel like they're going to recognize that they brought Rampart there kind of against his will. So they owe it to him to not leave him there.
It's been sort of a weird one with Rampart where, like, it's pretty clear we're supposed to like him. And I do like him because he's just so, like, he's so dumb. And, like, he's just, like, the most imperial ever. And he hasn't really done anything to, you know, make up for his evil deeds. Like, he destroyed Kamino.
And then he's trying to, like, bribe Crosshair into abandoning Hunter and Wrecker when they're standing right there.
Yeah, so it is a bit weird that, like, we're supposed to like him now, even though I think a lot of us do. It's just a bit odd where, like, we're supposed to feel bad for him, and obviously, you know, we're supposed to care that the Empire has him now, and he hasn't really earned that yet.
I don't know that we're supposed to care so much as, like, we're supposed to care that the Bad Batch should care because they put him in that position. Where, like, it's less about what did he do specifically than the principle of the thing. Where, like, beyond that, I think the way they're trying to show Rampart is, like, as someone who's kind of still scum and is, like, for some reason still believing in this system that is perfectly happy to abandon him.
That's true.
Until he maybe has a change of heart of some kind. Like, maybe he was forced into a position where he might have a change of heart, but it hasn't happened yet, but at least, like, maybe that could happen, and then you just kind of take it for what it is. But
so you're saying he's basically Crosshair if Crosshair didn't have a spine?
Yeah, I think that's what he's there to be.
Okay.
And, like, we're about, what, a year and a half into the Empire at this point? So,
yeah,
like, he's had enough time. He's had at least a little bit of time to figure out what's going on.
Did we talk about last episode that really cool shot they had? It was like they were looking at Mount Tantus from, like, bird's eye view, and then it turned into the interior. Yeah, it was like, yeah, that was cool. I don't know. I was just thinking about that. Yeah, you're right. I don't know why I completely changed topics. I was just going to say that's, I really like. Yeah, and I really like, there were some cool ones this episode too. I just really like the scale of that science frigate coming, or the science whatever it was ship coming in. Like, with the escorts and then dropping in the big ass hangar. And this show continues to look really good. That's one of the things I'm going to miss the most. Seeing all this Clone Wars and new Empire stuff in such high fidelity has been really neat.
Well, if it is just like a direct sequel going into like Omega and Ventress or something, then I'm sure we'll get even more of that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The one thing that's been missing are the lightsabers, where they did a lot of changes visually to how they wanted to show the lightsabers. I think you can see a lot of that in Tales and in season 7 of the Clone Wars, where like sometimes the floppiness of the blades is a bit much, but I think overall it looks really good. We're going to see a lot more of that in Tales of the Empire, but
yeah,
hopefully even more soon.
Yeah, my biggest problem with the Clone Wars and how it does lightsabers has always been that like the fighting style, nothing to do with the lightsaber itself, just the fighting style is so like snappy, where it's like, you know, they're always just like,
yeah,
and it almost it feels like, you know, they're toys, but that's just kind of a, I think, an animation style thing. Even with, I guess, you even see that sometimes in the Bad Batch with how they fight, where it's just like crack, 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 instead of just like, you know, more smooth. And but again, that's just like a stylistic thing, so it's whatever.
Yeah, like they definitely do emphasize the impact more than the.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It's definitely destination over the journey, I guess.
Yeah, but for sure.
Anything else in this episode that we haven't really covered yet? I think like Wrecker gets wrecked. Crosshair's tremoring. The Bad Batch is not even in the base yet, and things aren't looking super great for them.
No, they got shot down really quickly. Yeah, it's I'm going to sometimes with the Bad Batch, like I don't watch it right away, and I'll even check the Reddit to see if like I need to watch it, you know, ASAP, or if I can get away watching it that afternoon. I really want to go into this finale completely blind, because I'm curious to see who makes it out. I really don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to check our predictions again between this week and the finale. If anyone remembers exactly what we said and wants to post them in the comments, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, save us.
I'll find them if not, and then we'll see how correct we were. Cameo wise, especially, I don't think there's really been any cameos that would make us right or wrong. So
yeah, there are definitely fewer than we both expected, I think, which I've got no problem with.
Yeah, that's fine. Like the big one was Ventress. It's just that we couldn't guess Ventress because, well, for one, we thought she was dead. And for two, she was in the trailer. So they kind of gave away that big one. But
There was some freak who would have called Ventress anyway, but it would have been like the Ventress number one stan, like that Is Virzenik guy on Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, there was Is Ventress around, or no, it's the Barriss one that was.
Oh yeah.
Situation, but yeah. So yeah, I think that's it for me. Anything else you want to say to the nice people out there?
Nope. I'm excited for the finale. All
right, we'll be back next week with some more discussion of the Bad Batch, and then after that, following week, we'll be talking about Tales of the Empire, and then someday we'll get back to Destiny's Way. I am halfway through the book still, so I'm gonna have to probably reread it by the time we finish. Whenever you're able, whenever you're able to do it.
I'll get it done. I'll get it done.
Okay. It's going to be soon. We should also do Living Force if we can in the next month.
I'm down. I'll just do the audiobook for that one.
All right. Maybe we'll do that sooner then.
Okay. All right, so I got to finish my friggin' audiobook listen of Lord of the Rings. I've been like on Two Towers, but like the last quarter where it's just like Sam and Frodo. I'm just slowly getting through it. Sam, Frodo, and Gollum. It's just, they're walking down a dark, dusty road again.
Yeah, that's 90% of the books. And then they're talking about like,
fish again.
Elven etymology for some reason when it's just the two of them. I'm like, guys,
but like at least for the other, like at least for, it's just I wish in hindsight. I mean, I don't remember having read this as a kid I believe I did once, but I didn't remember that. The book splits where it's like the first half is everybody, and then the second half is just them. I wish, and it's like it takes place during the same time, so I wish they would have jumped back and forth probably, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I to be honest, ended up skipping a lot of Sam and Frodo chapters too when I read it. But I might have to shut down this channel before next week's TapCaf episode because I'm doing a video in the lead up to episode one coming back out that's at least 50% powered by spite. It's not that bad, but it's like all the comments of like, oh, politics in Star Wars didn't used to be on the nose. It was universal themes. So I did a video about like the most explicit stuff in episode one. Yeah. There's like characters named after people, policies that George Lucas specifically named. And I feel like that might get, hopefully that gets spicy.
One thing I recommend you do, go into your comments, go to your comments held for review, and then scroll all the way down. And YouTube actually hides the nastiest comments behind a second filter. And you actually, when you click on it, it's like, they're not just held for review, they're hidden. When you click on it, it gives you like a warning. It's like, these will be like terrible. So like every once in a while, every once in a while I go through and read those.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so I'll need to remember that.
Yeah.
Well, the only one that's currently there is someone just saying to someone else, go eat dirt. So it's not,
Okay. That bad.
All right. Well,
okay.
Thanks for watching, everyone. Thanks for listening. See you on X2, youtube.com/ECKSTOO and twitch.tv/CoreyLoses tonight.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Don't do that on